Should we capitalize the words Internet and Web or not? Maybe it's a question only a linguist or a copy editor would ask, but as our own linguist Jeff Nunberg reports, it's one that has a lot of techies worked up.
Most people didn't take much notice when Wired magazine announced recently that they decided to drop the capital letter on Internet and Web. But the news had the techies burning the midnight phosphor. Bloggers reacted indignantly, and there were more than 800 comments posted on Slashdot.org, the site that serves geeks as a digital water cooler. Of course, you'd expect the Slashdot crowd to be a little anal about stylistic matters. That comes with a job. Misplace a comma in an email or an op-ed piece, and you only risk losing your reader's attention. Misplace a comma in a line of software code, and you risk losing everything on your hard disk. Still, this wasn't just one of those meaningless stylebook niceties like whether to capitalize the Y in Your Eminence. It has to do with how we think about the Internet itself. Back in the 1920s, people sometimes capitalized the radio and the cinema, but they stopped doing that when the media receded into the cultural background. That's what led Wired to go to the lowercase form of Internet. As the editors put it, it was a way of acknowledging that the Internet is simply another medium for delivering and receiving information. I wish Wired luck, but they're fighting an uphill battle. People seem attached to the capitalized forms of Internet and the Web, not just in the press, but on the Web itself and in the Internet discussion groups. And a lot of newspapers were capitalizing blogosphere last week in their stories about the role that bloggers had played in discrediting those CBS memos about President Bush's National Guard service. People seem to think of these words on the model of other common nouns that have been elevated to proper names, like the Shire, the Channel, or the Coast. They want to think of the Internet as a place. We've been talking about the Internet in a spatial way since the early days of cyberspace, which was always depicted as an open expanse like an ocean, a plane, or a galaxy. And that spatial conception persisted even as settlers started to stake out the territory and the geography acquired features more typical of urban architecture like portals, gateways, and sites. But whether you picture the Internet on the model of the Great Plains or the Bowery, the idea of it as a space is built into the language we use to talk about it. Visit, go to, those aren't verbs we use when we're talking about reading a newspaper article or tuning in the evening news. The spatial picture of the Internet is one of those metaphorical frames that makes a technology easier to comprehend. It's like the trash can icon on the computer desktop, a useful analogy, so long as you don't think that the sanitation guys are going to be clanging by on Tuesday morning to dump it out for you. But there's a difference between saying something is a space and saying it's a particular place. There's no reason why we shouldn't think of the Internet as one of those ubiquitous presences like the atmosphere or the cosmos. None of them phrases we're tempted to put in capital letters. Putting a capital I on Internet implies something more than that. It turns the Internet into a specific location, a city of bits where a single community is taking shape. You can hear that picture in the phrases that cyber visionaries like to toss around when they're talking about the online community. Emerging consciousness, social contract, netizens, collective mind. Or as one of them put it in a much-publicized manifesto, "I come from cyberspace, the new home of mind. On behalf of the future, I ask you of the past to leave us alone. You do not know us. You have not engaged in our great and gathering conversation. You do not know our culture, our ethics, or our unwritten codes." Listening to that, your first thought is apt to be, what do you mean, we? In fact, the Internet is no more a coherent community than the collection of travelers who happen to find themselves at Kennedy Airport on a given Monday afternoon on their way to or from Stuttgart, San Juan, or St. Louis. If the Internet permits the illusion of community, it's only because we don't actually have to rub elbows with most of the other travelers there. We move around it the way Donald Trump cruises around New York, alighting from the limo only when we pull up at a destination full of people like us. But it's a little delusional to talk about the group mind of a collectivity that can't even reach a consensus on the correct spelling of accommodate. Or if you need a further demonstration, log in to one of the sites called Voyeurs, which throw up a random selection of queries as they come into the search engines. Cape May Hotels, Anna Kournikova, Pro-Death Penalty, Humping, Mapa de Caracas, Aston Kutcher Filmography, Bush Deception, Loans Until Payday, Fish Jokes, Israel Atrocities, Anna Kournikova, Dogs Getting It, Funeral Prayers. Taken together, it makes for a strange kind of poésie concrète. But if that's the product of a collective mind, it's a mighty scattered one. All the more reason for writing internet with a lowercase I. It reminds you that there really is no out there out there.
Jeff Nunberg is a Stanford linguist and author of Going Nuclear, Language, Politics, and Culture in Confrontational Times.